More orders for Boeing 737 MAX. Say hello to the new Pilot's Guide to Avionics. And Oshkosh to honor the greatest generation in the air. This is Aero News for Wednesday, July 11th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. GE Capital Aviation Services, the commercial aircraft leasing and financing arm of General Electric, has agreed to purchase 75 737 MAX 8s and 25 next-gen 737-800s. Boeing made the announcement at the Farnborough Air Show in London, saying the commitment builds on the momentum for the 737 MAX. Boeing says it looks forward to working with GECAS to finalize the details of the agreement, at which time the airplanes will be posted to the Boeing Orders and Deliveries website as a firm order. Meanwhile, Boeing has announced new performance statistics for the 737 MAX. Speaking at Farnborough, of course, Beverly Wise, the vice president and general manager of the 737 program, said, quote, "The 737 MAX models will have the capability to fly more than 3,500 nautical miles, an increase of 400 to 540 nautical miles over the next generation 737," end quote. The MAX also offers a lower operating empty weight but higher maximum takeoff weight, allowing customers to increase payload or range of the airplane beyond what its main competition can offer. Boeing says these efficiencies translate into an 8% per-seat operating cost advantage for the 737 MAX 8 over the A320neo. This year marks the special 10th anniversary edition of the Pilot's Guide to Avionics, and it debuted this week at, where else, Farnborough. The guide is a consumer's directory published by the AEA, containing buyer's guides, educational articles, and timely information about the avionics industry, its products, and its people. The publication helps pilots make better buying decisions and locate more than 1,300 government-certified repair stations around the world, specializing in maintenance, repair, and installation of avionics and electronic systems in general aviation aircraft. Not at Farnborough this year? Well, not to worry. Thousands of pilots' guides are distributed each year at no charge to all AEA members, the National Association of Flight Instructors members, flying clubs throughout the United States, and at various industry trade shows. Okay, enough for the news from Farnborough for now. There's another big air show coming soon, maybe you've heard of it, and it's a lot closer to home for many of us. The EAA's Air Venture in Oshkosh plans to honor two great veterans groups this summer, namely the Doolittle Raiders and the Tuskegee Airmen, in a salute to the greatest generation in the air. Highlights of the salute will include the appearance of Doolittle Raiders Dick Cole and David Thatcher, two of the remaining five surviving Raiders, who in 1942 flew that surprise bombing attack on Japan. The appearance of up to 10 members of the Tuskegee Airmen, the African-American fighter pilot group that overcame discrimination to post a superior flying record in Europe. A special screening of the movie Red Tails, introduced by its director, George Lucas. Public forums and autograph sessions featuring the Raiders and the Tuskegee Airmen. Special Warbird Airshow extravaganzas featuring more than 100 vintage World War II aircraft, and the special Tora 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 tribute to Pearl Harbor survivors, and of course more, including ANN, will be on hand for the entire week of Oshkosh with daily coverage of all the happenings at Air Venture. United Airlines, the North American launch customer for Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, has announced details about its introduction of the aircraft into the company's fleet and revealing a specially designed livery for the aircraft. United is scheduled to take delivery of its first Dreamliner in late September. Cabin color selections use a palette of blue and gray and are consistent with other modern United aircraft. The airline's 787 fleet will feature a customized livery that is exclusive to the fleet. The gold line that wraps the fuselage will swoop from nose to tail. The swoop is inspired by the trademark swoop painted on each of Boeing's aircraft and is being adopted for the United 787s in a tribute to the two companies' long history of working together. United has been the launch customer for more than a dozen Boeing aircraft models and was the first airline to operate the 767 and 777 aircraft. This tradition continues, with United now being the North American launch customer for the 787. United is planning to place five Boeing 787s into service this year. Southwest confirmed Monday that it, together with its subsidiary AirTran Airways, has reached an agreement with Delta Airlines and Boeing Capital to lease or sublease all 88 of AirTran's Boeing 717 aircraft to Delta. The company will transition approximately three of the aircraft per month beginning in August 2013. Both Southwest and Boeing had recently asked the FAA for more time to inspect the aircraft after airframe cracks were found on two 717s, and it had not been known just how that request would impact the Delta deal. Subleasing the aircraft also allows Southwest to stay within its all 737 fleet. When Aero News continues, the Teamsters want new leadership at Republic. A second AW169 prototype has taken flight, and this thing really flies like a brick.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Wednesday, July the 11th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters is calling on Republic Airways shareholders to vote for the union's proposal to appoint an independent chairman of the board. The Teamsters are urging investors to support this corporate governance reform as a better structure for shareholder representation in the struggling company. The union asserts that current structure, with its close-knit board and conflicted lead director, makes investors vulnerable to the whims of a domineering chairman, CEO, with no clear vision for the airline. The proposal, number 4 on the company's proxy, will be voted on by shareholders before the polls close on the company's August 1st shareholder meeting. The second prototype of the AW169, a new generation light intermediate helicopter, successfully completed its maiden flight Friday at Cassina Costa in Italy. Prototype number 1 is spending the week at Farnborough, and isn't everyone? The first two prototypes will be joined by another later this year and a fourth in 2013. The AW169 program is on schedule to achieve civil certification in 2014. The AW169 is the first all-new helicopter design in its class in decades and the only one that will meet all the latest safety requirements. A group of Alaskan air taxi operators are at odds with the IRS over the payment of hundreds of thousands of dollars in back excise taxes. IRS audits are charging the operators with the taxes, which according to the IRS should have been collected from each passenger for each segment of a complete flight, in other words, from one takeoff to one landing. The flyers argue they've been exempt from these taxes for years and that as such, they've not collected the taxes, and with the passengers now long gone, they have no way to retroactively collect the monies, thus making payment of the amounts due an incredible hardship. The problem, the flyers have told the Alaska Dispatch, is that the IRS has changed its interpretation of the tax law. The IRS now claiming their operations, even when just dropping off and picking up hunters, are flying established lines and are subject to the tax. The FAA sees the flyers' services as on-demand services, which previously the IRS held as exempt. Worse, the air taxi operators claim IRS agents have threatened them with even more punitive audits if they dare challenge the issue. The Alaska Air Carriers Association has joined in the fray, along with Democratic Alaskan Senator Mark Begich, who has written the Treasury Department, asking the IRS to explain itself. Finally, back at Farnborough, where this story confirms that it's not all business and boardroom discussions there, Rolls-Royce unveiled the world's first jet engine to be made entirely of Lego building blocks. The engine, which is one of the most complex Lego structures ever built, is a half-size replica of the Rolls-Royce Trent 1000, which powers the Boeing 787 Dreamliner aircraft. This one-of-a-kind Lego structure shows the complex inner workings of a jet engine and took 4 people 8 weeks to complete, including 152,455 Lego bricks. The engine weighs 307 kilograms and is over 2 meters long and 1.5 meters wide. Over 160 separate engine components were built and joined together in order to replicate a real jet engine. A team of graduates and apprentices from Rolls-Royce used their knowledge of the Trent 1000 engine to work with the company Bright Bricks, experts in Lego, to produce the immensely complex structure. Fortunately, there are no plans for the engine to get airborne, lest it give a whole new meaning to the term flies like a brick. Or more specifically, 152,455 bricks. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.